Falcha, Falcha, continue. Ochi and DL Debate, Lumsa, Brendan O'Davney and Shatai Highland Radio. Falcha, Falcha, welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now. And Highland Radio are back via the podcast as ever. I want to thank Ivan Borden for the Power Hour Plus. Joe Dex is here producing as ever, the top man. He's a producer, DJ, breakdancer. He's got the full package. I just want to thank Donal Kavanagh for the news as well, folks. We have another packed show coming up in store for you this evening. Shortly, we're going to talk with former county star John Gilday and Ryan Ferry, sports editor with the Donegal News. On all the weekend's club action, we'll look across the league finals. There was some relegation playoffs in there as well. And we'll look ahead to some of the championship games and indeed get their views on the big game coming up next weekend. Of course, it is the meeting of Kerry and Mayo. And to take up this further later on in the show, I'm going to speak with Radio Kerry's Tim Moynihan. Always great to catch up with Tim. We'll get the buzz in the kingdom to see what the build-up is like and to get his views on the game. But first of all, I just want to say well done to Donegal Masters at the weekend. Another brilliant victory, 6-6 for Eddie Crawford's lads against Monaghan, who were high up the table beside them there. So they made short work of them. Keep up the good work, lads, heading into the business end of the season for them. But first of all, I want to welcome to the show here now Ryan Ferry and John Gilday. Are you there, lads?
Yes, Brandon.
Hearing you loud and clear, Ryan. How are you getting on, John? We'll wait and get John in here shortly. Hey, he must be manoeuvring his computer there, maybe. I'll just get a look at him here with Joe. Ryan, the club action from the weekend, Ryan. This, the club leagues, you know, I was just thinking to myself on the way up here this evening, when I was in with Unions a couple of years ago, they were quite important on the day. You know, there's a lot you could take from a league game, but for most of the people outside of that, it's just kind of this pre-competition where it's nice to win it, but most teams just want to maybe stay in the division or, you know, get a bit of fitness up or unearth a few players, get some tactics in play.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there seems to be good interest at the start or at the start of April, Brendan, when teams are back in pre-season that long and they're mad to get going, and there seems to be good interest for the first 4 or 5 weeks. And then it seems to die off. You know, it's, at some stage, the interest kind of goes. Possibly when the All Ireland series starts to ramp up a bit, Brendan. Like, and I was at a game a couple of weeks ago, and it was the day that Louth played Armagh. You know, there was so many people watching the Louth v Armagh game on their phone at the same time it being at the actual match. You know, so I don't know. Does that become a distraction then? Particularly if teams have maybe points on the board and they're probably unlikely to get promoted, but maybe not going to be relegated. It just seems to the interest just doesn't seem to carry through. And then you have teams that are scrapping away for points, and they have to keep going right to the end, like say St Michael's had to do, and you know they got some big victories towards the end of the campaign and have a bit of momentum going into the league or into the championship. Mm. Whereas a lot of other teams, I'd say, don't really know where they're at.
Mm. There's quite a lot in that, Ryan, because a bit like you're saying there, a team can get a bit of momentum with a run. I think it was a Kilkear last year did it as well. Looked like they were dead and buried and came with a bit of a run. But you look at it then, I suppose. So the bigger teams just want to really stay in the division, but it wouldn't hurt them to go down. Then you have a load of teams who maybe want to operate in a league above, maybe with a championship. I mean, Niamh Patrick was a big example of that, Ryan, the year they went on the run to All-Ireland final, but haven't played in Division 2. So there's a lot in there in terms of teams gaining experience and kind of elevating the team pre-championship as well.
Yeah, but it's funny the way it works this year, Brendan, where, like, if you take Division 2, Niamh Columba and Ardra, who are going to be playing in the Senior Championship, were both promoted. And I think everybody, the rest of the 12 teams, I'm open to correction on this, the rest of the 12 teams are all in the intermediate. So it's probably a wee bit more evened out this year than it had been in other years. But definitely, I think you're right. Their teams see it as a good way to climb the ladder. You know, if they're trying to make a breakthrough in a certain championship, get up the grades. You know, sorry, Niamh Mura were in Division 1, so I'm incorrect on that. So, yeah, like, there's teams that look to get up the ranks. Like, Niamh Mura were up in Division 1 this year. Didn't go great for them, and they were relegated. So does that create a challenge going into the championship, or can they park that? you know. So, teams can get different things from it. As you say, the big hitters, you know, I think if they can try and keep most of their boys about in the summer and not have an exodus to America, they're probably happy enough, Brent.
Yeah, that's the other side of it then, Ryan, is people in America. And when you looked across, suppose, at the weekend, obviously Four Masters won in Division League One, beat Dunloe, Neve Columba, won Division Two against Ardrailler, the kind of Gales, won three against Neve Breed. The 1B final was Four Masters again coming through in that, beating Terman. We had some relegation playoffs in as well. Neve Patrick gets Cahoon losing out to St Michael's. Yeah, who did St Michael's beat, Ryan?
Michael's beat me, Padraig, at Ishkafin.
Yeah,
Lifford on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. And Ryan, they were looking a wee bit threatened. That obviously Gidor had gone down. That raised a few eyebrows to people. And then, listen, I met Francie Friel one day down in Gidor, and he was just saying, listen, so many players away in that. And so, Ryan, it was unusual for a team like Gidor, but I mean, we could very easily see Gidor back, obviously, in the championship final this year. So it's one of them ones you'd rather it didn't happen. But if you've so many players been away and you're working off a tight squad, you can see how easily that would happen.
Yeah, and it just seemed to be, you know, their consistency of team selection, Bren, because, like, you know, they won the Donegal Gaeltacht, they won the All-Ireland Gaeltacht, but in between they just, you know, and they were involved in a lot of tight games, they just didn't seem to be able to get over the line in their league games. And I was down one day in Maher Gallan when they played Glenswilly, and they were well up, and they looked to be cruising, and Glenn Swilly came and won it with a two-pointer right late on, like, you know. So, you know, when you look at their team that played in the county final last year, like, you know, there's been kind of five or six missing it all the time, and those five or six make a big difference, really.
Yeah, Ryan, there's a lot in that, and as you said, even though you could say St Michael's find a bit of form, the reality is that if Gidor now hit the championship, won their opening game, even the first game, and play well, that's it. You know, they're back in terms of championship and that. And we obviously have the two draws. We'll talk about that in a minute. For Four Masters, Ryan, I was speaking to you last week. You know, we were saying they were in the final last year as well. Is this more of the Four Masters build that's coming, that, you know, they're nudging towards the ultimate breakthrough and the senior championship with this serious array of young talent that's coming through?
Yeah, I think you'd have to say it's an impressive victory for Four Masters, Bren, when you consider that Conor McCahill is still out injured, Turla and Selin Carr are in America, Kevin Muldoon is in America, they've lost a couple of players, Aaron McRae went away, and Oisin Reid went away at the end of last year. So, you know, and Dylan Kennedy hasn't been playing, so they're probably six or seven players down from what they had in the championship last year. But as you say, they've had that conveyor belt coming. Thomas Lenehan, Tomas Carr, Orr McMullen's come in this year. So they seem to be just the players that are breaking through seem to be of a really high standard. And you know they're winning big games. Like, you know, Dunloe have had a pretty steady team the whole way through the Division One. Like, and you were thinking they'd be hard to beat in Glanties, and you know Four Masters went and done it again. So, like, they're definitely coming with momentum. It's you know, it seems that, you know, it's not if, it's kind of when they're going to make this breakthrough, because they just seem to have so much talent on the way through.
Yeah, and that the American thing then, Ryan, I suppose the season's set up for players to go. Do you think that in terms of now, like, the way the championship seems very squashed at times, so games seem to come very thick and fast, there seems to be a lot of weeks now in between where there's not much happening, or we could change things up to build more time in the championship. Are you happy enough with the way that is at the minute, Ryan, in terms of the championship? It just seems like we have big games sometimes week on week. When we had spare weeks now and around this time, we could maybe have used.
Yeah, like, it's a funny one, Brian, because somebody was saying to me, you know, like, that, you know, like, this is, you know, like, it gives an opportunity for players to go in on holiday. From what I'm looking at different team sheets down through the weeks, Bren, a lot of the young players have been on their days already. Like, there's probably not too many of them heading away to the French Riviera in the last week in July. Like, you know, so you wonder, like, would you be better playing games now in these weeks coming up? But I don't know. The thing about America, I know people say, you know, the decision, play away without them. But, you know, a lot of these lads are going to come back missing one round, possibly two rounds of the championship. And, you know, therefore, I'm back in like the place of somebody else, Bren, and the person might get very little football over the coming week. So, you know, I do wonder, would we be better just waiting till the American football was finished up and
yeah, we just seem to have lost Ryan there, and John Gilday hasn't joined us. I don't know what happened, John, there. I hope he's all right. We get Ryan back. Are you back there, Ryan? We'll get you back.
Oh, man, you cut me off. Was I wandering on
no,
a bit there, was I?
No, Ryan, fair play. As I say, John was supposed to join us this evening too, so you're holding it all together for us. No, we just lost you a wee second there. That's it. You need to pay that old internet bill hey, a bit better. Pump up the volume a bit on it, Ryan. But no, listen, Ryan, first class. Ryan, yeah, the American thing, of course, yeah, different players going out depending on the player. The experience has to be, I suppose, that's allowing people time to do that. Then there's only certain people that suits. But yeah, there's a couple of ways of looking at that, Ryan, depending on the club and where they're at in terms of players just dropping back in again. Like you've mixed feelings about that. You never want players not to go, but it's certainly, you know, you're obviously trying to build a squad and a bond together, and you want everybody on board. So it can be hard sometimes, but listen, if it's a top player, which it usually is, you're just going to have to accommodate it.
Yeah, you're going to accommodate it. And the way the championship is set up, you know, they're not knockout games in early August. So I suppose people weigh it up and think, you know, there'll be two or three games to try and get it back, even, you know, if they do miss one or two. Like, so, and that's where it is. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, we've seen the new structure in the All-Ireland series this year, Brendan, with 16 teams. We have 16 teams in the senior championship. I'm curious when all said and done towards the end of October, will people be pushing for a change for that format, which seemed to work fairly well in the All-Ireland series this year. So, but, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like, as you say, a couple of weeks break now for a lot of teams. There'll be teams trying to get a bit of hard training done. You know, any team that was struggling towards the end of the league and still needed points wouldn't have been getting.
Sorry, we're just having a wee bit of trouble with Ryan's connection there. Ryan, how are you getting on?
I'm struggling here to get through to you, Brendan.
You're right. We could take you on the phone, Ryan, if it would work a bit better. Or what do you reckon's best?
Yeah, maybe go the phone, possibly.
Maybe go phone. Listen, we'll just do what we're going to do. I'm going to play a quick interview here because Eddie Crawford caught up with Kieran Cannon after the game. We'll get Ryan on the phone here to finish off that interview because I want to ask him a few questions about the up-and-coming club championship and, of course, Kerry versus Mayo.
Well, Kieran, last year we were beaten finalists last year, and I said to the boys at the end of the season, I said, you know, Tyrone went on to win the five in a row, and I said, listen, lads, I said, we can do this, we can be there if we really put the effort in this year, and this is what we've done, Kieran, really. Put the big shift in, a lot of training, got a few new faces in, and we just kicked on.
Unbeaten, Eddie, prior to today's encounter, am I correct?
Yeah, unbeaten this year, yeah. No, as I say, we mightn't have the best players in the county, but we have the most hard working players here. And we're happy enough, like. We wanted to be top going into the championship now for the A championship, and that's where we are. So happy enough.
Great stuff. 8 points to four up at half time, Eddie, and obviously delighted of the victory today. How satisfied would you be with the team's performance heading into the last four?
Oh no, listen, it was a great victory. Like, you know, we knew what coming to this game today here at Monaghan was going to be a big challenge for us because they were on the same points as us. This is top of the league battle, like, you know, and as well as the bonus to that was the Martin Gillespie Cup we're playing for. And I said to the boys, like, it would be nice to win that in honour of Martin's family, like, you know. But the performance was terrific, like, right through the whole team, Jared McVerdy, Martin Donaghy, Conor McShane. All them boys play well, and of course, by Eamon Ward at the back, who's Monaghan's top scorer, Martin Moody of the game. So we're happy No, happy, very happy with the performance.
When you think of experience and you think of the likes of Eamon Ward, he played his club football with your own club, Glen Swilly, towards the end of his career, but he was a Monaghan native before coming to Donegal, so plenty of experience. You named Conor McShane as well. Plenty of experience. Gerard McBrady there still scoring goals at this stage of his career. Is it a panel game? And we look at Gaelic football now, Eddie, and maybe not too many people are familiar with the Masters. Would you use 20 players most days out, or maybe you'd even use more, would you?
Well, we had a panel today, Kieran, of 35 players, and 33 of them got a run. We emptied the bench and come near the end when we were well ahead. But absolutely. We in the first half, we used 20 players in the first half of that game. And that's what you have to do in Masters football, I suppose. Like, we're not as young as we used to be. But these guys, you know, still work hard, they train hard, they're playing with their clubs at a high level. And, you know, they put the effort in. So they do, absolutely. But, you know, we have a great panel there, and most weeks, Kieran, we have 30, 35 at training. And, you know, you can see in them, they really want something, like, you know, about you. And, hopefully now, with two matches left, like, you know, semi-final and a final, if we can push on and maybe give the championship a rattle.
In terms of...
Yes, that was Eddie Crawford here, the Masters manager. They are flying it, heading in to the semi-finals. Good luck to them. 35 of a squad, I could nearly get a run, Joe. Huh? Last 5 minute job, swing one over. Ryan Ferry, have we got you again, Ryan?
Let's hope so, Brendan.
You're all right, Ryan. They're the wee technical hitches that happen, say, no worries at all. Ryan, just we were finishing up just on the league football there, and as we get into the championship, and I think you're right, the format of All Ireland, I think, was a very interesting one in terms of, you know, the way it's cut out those meaningless games, and it's put, like, the possibility of big championship games on an open draw, and it's fantastic, isn't it? And heading into our own championship, Brian, I was just talking earlier, it's the 9th and 10th of August coming up now. So the second round maybe doesn't have any real fireworks in it. The first one, I think, that automatically Glen Swilly Tiernan sticks out, maybe four Masters Killybegs as well. Bit of a rivalry, Gador and St Michael's would be the big ties in there, Ryan. So we're hoping for a good liftoff in the championship.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the first round is pretty appetizing, all right. Glen Swilly and Tiernan. I think Glen Swilly went to the Burn Road there a couple of weeks ago and were well beaten, but maybe a bit of shadow boxing going on, Brendan. I should have said earlier on, Killybegs were in Division 2. So a bit of a senior moment for me there, Brendan. And they'll be taking on four Masters. And then you have that Gwydor St Michael's game, and the Gwydor, you know, will be out to avenge that defeat that they had against St Michael's at the Bridge. And, you know, it was a tight game that day. Like, Kyle McGarvey made a great block later on against Gwydor, and, you know, the Gwydor players looked fairly stunned coming off the pitch that day. So I think they'll have the bit between their teeth when that game comes around.
Yeah, and Ryan, I know last year obviously we had a great run from Tiernan. Obviously four Masters was in the mix, Dunlow. Leif Connell came through again. Gador were obviously thereabouts. Maybe Unions didn't have the best of the year. Is there anybody this year, Ryan? Is there anybody you think that you have put out in front in terms of being favourites?
Well, like, I think Niamh Connell as defending champions, you know, like, you know, they're maybe, will their preparations be a wee bit disjointed because they've a few fellas away? I don't know. Like, they'll probably have everybody back for the knockout stages. You know, they've had 10 or 11 fellas up with the county team over the last 2 years, Brendan, up exposed to that level. You know, so they have a lot of options. So they're going to take a lot to beat Niamh Connell, as we saw last year when they looked in bother on a couple of occasions. St Union's going to be a really interesting one, Brendan. You know, quietly going about their business, just missed out on the league final spot. Probably were lacking a few inside forwards, a bit of Brendan Devaney magic from yesteryear during the league. But, you know, at some stage, Niall O'Donnell's going to be back in, Owen McGeehan, you know, so, you know, they'll take that box off eventually. So, you know, they're going to be dangerous. I suppose we'll be looking to have a look at McCool's. You know, they have a lot of underage talent coming through. Oisin Gallen will be swinging them over, no doubt. So, as you say, Tiernan going to be worth keeping an eye on. Tiernan, you know, they they impressed last year. So I think there's a lot of teams that are going to go into the senior championship thinking, you know, if they get the right rub of the green with the draws, that, you know, maybe they could go deep into the championship.
Interesting. Raymond, you look at the intermediate championship, I'm looking down at the gate, and I think you could nearly make a case for everybody in there winning it. It's, you know, I know there's a few in there and you think, right, it's be a stretch for you in the senior, but I'm looking down through, you know, Mallon, Clan Ely, Cairn Donagh, Buncrana. I mean, that's a big game. There's so many nice own teams there, you know, Fannad Burt, Nivora, Milford, St. Noll's versus Red Hughes. I mean, there's a lot of teams there. You obviously have Bundoran, Niamh Patrick, Skikine as well. So the intermediate is a brilliant championship every year, Ryan. Really look forward to it.
Yeah, it is brilliant, and like it's going to be really interesting this year, Brendan, because you're looking at the teams, and it's very hard to pick out who might be a favourite to win it, you know, because nobody's really coming with any great level of consistency, you know. Because mentioned Niamh Mura were in Division 1, were relegated. Niamh Padraig got to the playoff in Division 2, but were, you know, fairly well beaten last week by St Michael's, you know. So then you're looking at teams that, you know, finished the league campaign very strongly, like Fannad with an All-Ireland Junior Gaelic title. Can they push on? And, you know, Cairn Donagh, I saw Cairn Donagh against Niamh Bolton yesterday. They didn't have Conor O'Donnell and they were quite impressive, you know. So Buncrana with Keelan McGonigal back in. As you say, the any show and dogfight on one side of the draw is going to make it very interesting. And, you know, just kind of without even going into who might win it, Brendan, just deciding who might get through to the quarterfinals, yes, who might be in the relegation playoffs, yeah, it's kind of even hard work on that, like, you know. So as you say, just teams will be looking to get off to a good start, get points on the board early, and get through to the last eight and see where it goes from there.
Yes, indeed, we'll be covering it all around. Just last one, and the juniors there, the St Mary's, maybe Letterkenny Gaels, big standout tie in opening round of the juniors.
Yeah, and like Letterkenny Gaels won Division 3 at the weekend with a pretty comfortable victory over Neat Breed, I think. I was not the match now, but I'm told they were quite impressive. So, you know, they're going to be motoring well. Neve Olton are a team that could be in the mix. St Mary's Convoy didn't have a great league, you know, started kind of poorly, but, you know, they've won it before in the not too distant past. So, you know, they could rattle teams, but I think looking at it with Cal McGilloway and Cal Doherty coming into the Letterkenny Gaels panel this year, you'd have to make them probably favourites to land that one, especially after losing the final last year.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, really looking forward to all this. Championship Fair is coming, of course. It'll be covered here across Highland. The streaming will be covering games, and then if you don't get any of that, you make sure you read Ryan's article in the Donegal News on the Monday, covering it all brilliantly as ever. Ryan, last question to you, just a wee bit about the All-Ireland final coming up. What's your thinking? Can you build a case for the Mayo men? We just seen two poor enough finals yesterday, you know, commiserations to Galway. That Limerick team, Ryan, physically, I mean, we always talk about the skills of hurling, but they're physically on another level, and when they found their mojo, it was a bit hard to watch, I thought. And I don't know why, Ryan, I have a bit of a fear now. This Mayo are a good team, but you just have a fear that this final could go something similar if Kerry really bring it to Mayo.
Yeah, I think that's a fair concern to have, Brendan, after you know, when you see a well-oiled machine like Limerick just go through the gears yesterday, like, you know, it makes you think, what could Kerry do here? Like, you know, if they find their best form. And a wee bit like that, maybe Limerick hadn't been shooting the lights out, you know, and Kerry, you know, probably haven't been at the level that they were last year, but they're still winning their games, like, you know. So it's they're going to start as strong favourites. I was just thinking earlier on, Brendan, you know, with the excitement this time last year and big preview nights and yeah, and all the rest of it, and it's a very different feeling this season about Donegal. But, you know, Mayo are getting that buzz this year, and, you know, they're, as I said, big underdogs going into it. You know, the people chat about the curse. I don't know if many people are thinking the curse is going to end this week. You know, it would be a remarkable victory for them if they could do it, and it's probably you know, it's a funny one, Brendan. You know, with all the finals they lost, you know, they're going in this week with a full forward line that are really going very well, and that was always seen to be their Achilles heel. And they've got two teenagers in there, and Dara Byrne and Kobe McDonald, and they've been fantastic, you know. And there would be probably a few doubts about the Kerry full back line, but still a big ask for young players to go out and deliver on the big day. And, can Mayo do it? Can they produce it? Can they get a grip in midfield where Kerry are so strong? Like, it's going to take a huge performance from Mayo.
Yeah, absolutely massive. Ryan, yeah, you just spoke about last year, Ryan, and you're right. You know, that funny at the end of the season, after the final, like, I really wanted to, like, have a chat to Jim just to kind of quantify just how amazing that was, that build-up there, and the couple of Ulsters we'd won and been in All-Ireland semi and that, you know, but there wasn't a chance to talk. But context is a big thing, Ryan, you know, and then we had this season. Like, Ryan, what are you hearing on the ground? Are you hearing anything about Jim's staying on, or how's it looking, do you think? Is he going to give it another year? Like, his initial term was 3 with a possible 4, so do you think he's going to take that up or even extend it?
There's all sorts of suggestions doing the rounds and speculation, Brendan, but, you know, I suppose until we hear and get confirmation on it, you know, you just have to be wary of it all and what way it would go. Like,
I know you've loads of sources out there, you see, Ryan, that's why I'm asking you.
yeah. Not as many as you have, I would say. But, I would still think it's an attractive job, Brendan. Like, to me, you look at the age profile, you know, and some players are pushing towards, they'll be pushing towards 30 next year, but it's still relatively good, like, you know, and, you know, probably need to try and build the panel. You know, is that easier said than done? I don't know. Like, but, you know, I still think, you know, when you look around how that championship has played out, you know, like, I think Donegal can rub shoulders with anybody in that championship, you know, if they get the right run. So, yeah, like, it'll be interesting to see if we get any correspondence from the county board now over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully do. And because you would imagine, one way or the other, need to get it tied down shortly.
Yeah, totally agree, Ryan. And just as you build a panel, you think about people like Niall O'Donnell, you think about Aaron Doherty, who was absolutely brilliant for Neve Columba at the weekend as well. And there's other players out there that, you know, maybe if it was put to them to give it another big push. Because you're right, Ryan, there's been times the last couple of years, I mean, there's been some unbelievable performances from our guys. And obviously this year, you know, we must have, like, we hit the ground running too hard, too early. And then, you know, the energy sapped. That said, Ryan, you know, you look at Dublin since that game, like, Dublin are a lot better maybe than we thought they were. But you could tell even in added time, Ryan, that that was an energy thing, you know, that the guys were out on their feet a bit. So the big thing, I think, Ryan, would be give the lads a good winter's break, I think. Come back into it late. Do a carry on it. Come back in as if we're not too worried about the first few league games, and then start to lift it in. That would be the hope.
Yeah, well, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of chat that they went too heavy at it, Brendan, you know, there's other suggestions that, you know, that there was injuries and, you know, that they weren't able to get the hard work that they wanted done in the championship. Like, so, you know, I don't know if I get the book or you'll get the book, Brendan, but maybe we'll get this full story some stage on the season that was, like, you know. But yeah, like, it is funny the way it played out. And, you know, people were probably sleeping a wee bit on that Dublin team. You know, like, they lost games in Leinster, but, you know, when Colin got back into the swing of things and Colin Baskell came back into it, like, they had some really good operators, like, you know. So, you know, Donegal were probably a bit vulnerable that day, when, you know, going in as favourites against a hungry Dublin team. And, you know, and like, they could have won it, like, too. You know, when you think back to the first half, where you were going well and, you know, had goal chances and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, that's what I mean. I don't think that Donegal are that far off it. But, you know, whatever happened this year just didn't play out right. And, you know, will people be keen to put that and make amends for that? Quite possibly, you know. But, yeah, like, I think that maybe Kerry will win by 15 points on Sunday, Brenton, and the outlook will look different. But, you know, my gut is that Donegal aren't that far off the pace.
Yeah, well, a man that's going to qualify that or play it down is Tim Moynihan from Radio Kerry, the man himself. I'm going to talk to him after this break. But for now, Ryan Ferry, me and you will talk again as the club championship goes on. Lad, thanks very much for this evening.
Okay, Brendan, thank you very much.
Top man, Ryan Ferry there, sports editor with Donegal News. Very quick ad break and I'll be back with Tim Moynihan of Kerry. Yes, now as we build up to the All-Ireland final, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Tim Moynihan of Radio Kerry. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good evening, Brendan. Beautiful evening here down in the southwest. I hope it's the same up on your side.
That's it. A whole way down the Atlantic way from the top to bottom. Hey, sorry to pull you away from your celebrity lifestyle there as you build up into this final, dude.
There's much celebrity. If you knew the job I was doing before I come on the phone to you, you wouldn't call it a celebrity.
You weren't at the bog, were you?
I tell you, I wasn't too far away from it. There's plenty of it where I come from as well, believe you me. But it's great. And I know you've experienced this, Brendan, the build up to an All Ireland final. The only thing, I just caught the tail end of your last interview. The only thing, everything seems to be rushed at the minute. You're out of a hurling final, the All Ireland final, and suddenly the football final is next Sunday. So everything seems to be rushed with this split season. But on the same token, it's an All-Ireland and you've got to embrace it, Brendan.
Do you know what? I was just saying that to Ryan about our own club championship here, that there's weeks in between where nothing's really happening in club league, right. And then we have this championship that just goes bang, and I'm sure it's the same down with you, Tim. I mean, you ended up playing games week on week, big games, and you're like in between, say, quarters and semis, and I always think it'd be great to have a week in between so lads could maybe enjoy the victory, you know, and let the hair down a small bit, you know.
Yeah, and you know, you've hit the nail on the head, Brendan. You know, it's the All-Ireland final, win or lose next Sunday. There's a break then until the weekend of the 8th of August. And it's then the club championship at senior level, intermediate and junior. So it's kind of a group competition, the group stages. And then you're in, I know you talk about it, it's very hard to comprehend for someone outside the county of Kerry. Then we're straight into county championship, where you'll have some of those guys or some of those teams that played in the senior club will have their senior club playing in the county championship. Mm. And that's where you play against districts. You know, you'll have the East Kerrys of this world, the South Kerrys, the St. Kieran. So if your team is successful, you'll be going right into October / November. And if you happen to represent the county, then sure, look, you'll be playing until next January. But look, I suppose we can live with it or live without it. That's the marriage we have if you're into Gaelic football, Brendan.
And Tim, tell me how much, obviously, with the three teams going all the way and winning all Ireland's at the three levels, you know, Jack has talked about that a lot with players and injuries. And that. Is this a bit much, Tim, when Kerry now is back ultimately successful, no, in finals each year, and then your clubs are so successful? Is this a huge load to bear for these lads?
That's what Jack is saying, but and it was down to injuries as well. You know, a lot of big players got injured over the season, and the likes of Breno Bjogli, now he's our guy, as you well know, Brendan, from Gaeltacht, and they won their intermediate All Ireland. So he was carrying an injury last year, and so he's been in and out of the team since. And look, if you think about it, he was playing with an injury, but when it's for your club and if you have a chance to go, you know, that carrot is dangled to go Croke Park, you all in. But Jack, look, there's only a limited amount of number of players that would be involved with Jack that would be, you know, would see that as a problem, in the sense that it wouldn't be all his panel that would be involved in this. But if you go to the latter stages, but Jack, there's a big, big statement down here by Jack saying that there's too many club competitions in Kerry. But you go out to our districts, then you know, on top of what I just said to you about the intermediate, the senior, the junior championships, then you go to the district. There's district board championships where you have a lot of the Kerry players involved in. But the guys that kept football going in these areas with the last 70 or 80 years, and I suppose if you talk about the current people that are still alive involved in those championships, you know, they take a very dim view of that statement then, because they want those championships to stay alive. And we could be on for hours talking about this, Brendan, because I feel now that there's a huge gap developing between your senior team, and I'm sure it's the same in Donegal, and the clubs, because I remember I presented a programme on Radio Kerry called Terrace Talk some years back, and I don't know if you remember the wing forward for Ireland, and he was from Cork, that is David Corkery. Yeah. And he was on about the demise of club rugby in Munster. You know, you'd have the Gary Owens playing the Shannons, the Tomans, and they'd have, what, 1,500, 2,000 at a game. Now they don't get more than 200 or 300 at games because it's become club Munster since Munster got senior. So the point I'm making is it's club Kerry down here as well. And if you're involved with Kerry, you know, be it a manager, you don't want your man to be playing too much football or right throughout the season. And, you know, we're still an amateur game, but I think there's huge gap being developed, Brendan. I think you understand what I'm saying between club and county. Look, they're training like professionals, as you well know. Their lives are in sacrifice. And if you're inside with a county team, Brendan, you find it very difficult to go back to your club. And if you get injured, you're not part of that, as I call it, that professional setup. So, you know, it's a big talking point down in Kerry, and Jack has referenced it right throughout the season. But like I say, if you go out into the districts, they don't want to hear about it. And it's down to the injuries he has, and that's what he was saying, you know.
Everybody's, I suppose, got their own teams. I know what you're saying, him, right. And that's where they're looking to, and you can respect that. Just thinking about your man Fitzigan and the Love Island there, Tim, because our county players are basically, they're in that male model type, not like it was years ago. You would have nod buck with a beer belly. You know, you've got he was ready to go, that Fitzy guy, when he went down, because of that dedication you're talking about. I mean, the lads are in some shape there. Tell me, Tim, I was down at the two semi-finals. I didn't get to see you because I was down pitch side doing a wee bit wee BBC, Tim. But tell me this. I was so impressed with Dublin's defensive shape. I think that's the best 11 defence I've seen in Croke Park. You know, they were close to shutting it down, Tim, and I thought only the brilliance of some of your scores, particularly Graham O'Sullivan, Sean O'Shea's, and the two Cliffords, they kicked points in the tightest of spaces because Dublin had shut down the space to a level I hadn't seen now in an 11 game at Croke Park.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head once again, Brendan. The best defensive effort I've seen from any team, even in the last couple of years. And it's just maybe the brilliance, like everyone said, that Dublin, you know, kept David Clifford quiet. And to be fair, they did what they did. You know, they had the man-marking job, and then they had the likes of Niall Scully coming back in front of him. But the thing is, with that then, that he takes two or three players out of play. He kicked 1-5 during the course of the game. So the fellas like him are prepared to sacrifice. Now, down here, there's nothing thought of that 1-5 by David Clifford, because, and this is no arrogance, because he seems to do it all the time and kick a lot more. But then, and you name, to me, he's, I know David Clifford gets all the plaudits down here, Brendan, but to me, Seanie O'Shea is, and you see him that day above in Ballyshannon against Donegal. He almost beat Donegal on his own. Yes. And that's no disrespect to the other fellas playing on the Kerry team, but he kicked 11 points, but it's the work and the drive. I call him the Roy Keane of Gaelic football, because the demands he makes on his fellow players. And if you don't, you make one mistake, he's in on top of you and he's eyeballing you, and this can't happen again. And he's the driving force. And I go as far as saying, Brendan, that against Dublin, if Seanie O'Shea wasn't playing, we wouldn't have won that game. The stuff, if you could stick a camera on him for the duration of 70 minutes and see what the work ethic he does and doing things right. It's fine to, you know, you can be a busy fool, they say, but this guy's not. He's busy, but he's doing the right things. And that's where I hold him. I think he's one of the best Kerry footballers in the last 30 years with Kerry. That's what I feel about him.
I totally agree. Just on that, Tim, it's what, 05, 06 since there was back-to-backs. You mentioned, like, there's obviously a different mindset completely, and you touched on it a bit there with the likes of Clifford and that. Is it a big thing now for each team to kind of put its own stamp, kind of to say, you know, back-to-back going for a three-in-a-row team? Is that something that's I suppose, it's different, you know, particularly with, as you said, players like Sean O'Shea and David Clifford, that they almost would expect things like that to be beside their names?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny you should say that, Brendan. David Clifford was interviewed a couple of, as you well know, it's very hard to get players now to speak, but he made a statement, I don't know, was it on a podcast or what, going back a number of weeks, but what he said, that, you know, you're only around for a short while, you know, at senior level, and you want to win and do what you can in that time. And I suppose he epitomises the hunger on this Kerry team, or in this Kerry team. There was hurt going into the Dublin game. If you remember back, a couple of years ago when Fitzsimons kept him to 3 or 4 points and he'd missed shots that day. He'd a bat, and that was under the old rules.
Yeah.
But this is a different David Clifford now. And, you know, he has that little bit of space, even though we were saying that how good, it's ironic how we were saying as well, that how Dublin marshalled him well. But, you know, there's a number of factors coming into this game on Sunday, Brendan. You know, Jack is going to play it down about the back-to-back All-Irelands. I'm talking about him as a manager, but in the back of his mind, he wants it big time because he's failed to do it in the past. He's delivered, was it, five All-Irelands to Kerry, you know, and that this is his third coming with Kerry. And of course, he brought the Kerry Miners when we had to wait over, 20-odd years, and suddenly he did it 2 in a row with the Miners, and you have a lot of those players playing with him now. So for him as a manager, you know, it's always down here, the late Mick O'Dwyer, and you'd have heard that story. You know, he's the guy that managed Kerry in the golden years. But Jack is up there now, right with him, if he can deliver another All-Ireland. And, you know, but the game has changed. The demands are big, like you say. But it's something that players think about. And there's players inside in that Kerry camp. They'll be only looking as far as the game on Sunday or that throw-in. But beyond that, there's something more to play for as well. And that's what keeps the likes of Jack O'Connor and Kerry teams going, you know.
Yes, definitely, I agree. Tell me, we talked about your forward line. Obviously, Mayo aren't going to play it like that. Mayo come after teams man for man, which is a game where I think if I was a Kerry player, I know which one I would want to play in as a forward line. And you've seen how much even Dylan Gainey was affected, you know, very quiet game from what he's had all season. Now he's going to be man for man marked. And if Kerry players break any of those lines at any stage, they're going to open up the game. Now Mayo are going to take you on and try and outscore you. Tell me, listen, obviously the three inside are hitting 95% of their scores. I was so impressed with Foley the last day. You know, there's so much talk about it going in, Conn and David.
Right.
You know, and you're talking about the marking job that they're on, but there wasn't that much talk about what Foley did to Conn. I mean, he was really, that's one of the tightest markers I've seen of Conn in Croke Park. So, you know, there's your full back line, you know, versus that full forward line. And to me, just looking at the freedom as well, do you think they'll track players? Because I'm watching how those players drift out, and they seem to be unmarked at little times when they get the ball. What's your feeling of your back three against those?
I'll get back to the Jason Foley one first, right, Brendan. You remember the previous game where Darren McCurry, after the game, was asking, you know, everyone was asking who was, what did he kick, 9, 10 points against Kelly? He almost won it for Tyrone. And, you know, even at that stage, you could say our full back line was under fierce pressure. But to be fair, we know the type of player who Jason is, and the bigger the player, the bigger the game, you know, for him. And that was a nice test for him. And he relies a lot on speed as well. His background is athletics. He wants to be out in front of you. One of the few, a lot of defenders play from behind, you know, try to keep goal side of you. But this guy, 50-50 ball in, he wants to beat you out, as he did with I suppose, Michael Murphy last year in the All-Ireland, as you remember. But the one worrying thing about Kerry at the minute, and you can say, I suppose you got cover in the old rules, but the last day, our two cornerbacks were under a bit of pressure. Now, that was down to a bit of dominance by Dublin in that middle third as well. So Jack will have a serious look at that. You know, Paul Murphy was under pressure, and likewise Dylan Casey, I think, picked up an injury, and he was turned 2 or 3 times. So the Mayo forwards will be aware of that as well. Now, you can't blame the two cornerbacks, but the ball was coming in at pace. But like you say, if Mayo go 1-1, you know, with Kerry, it'll be a shootout at the OK Corral. But I think they'll go after a number of things, Mayo, the next day. Like, we were very fortunate with our kickouts. Shane Murphy coming in for Shane Ryan as well. He's had a massive 2 or 3 games now, and he's grown into the competition. There's so many things that Mayo will go after. And especially, it took a while for our half-forward line to settle in as well the last day in that game against Dublin. And the big thing, you know, if you remember the last day of the line-out, the Kerry captain, Paul Gainey, the man that led Dingle to the senior club All-Ireland victory, he didn't start, and Shawnee O'Shea came in his place. Yes. Now, you think about it, he's declared himself fit for Sunday, Paul Gainey. So I'm asking the question tonight, who will, if he was to come in and start, who's Jack going to drop? Because is he going to drop Dermot O'Connor, Shawnee O'Shea and Paddy on the 40 in that half-forward line? And likewise, I know you said Dylan Gainey was quiet, but then you'll have Dylan and David Clifford inside, and Shawnee, I suppose, came in that full forward line, but he was walking around the half forward line. So he's a lovely headache by Jack on that side. But getting back to what you were saying, and if Mayo go 1-1, Kerry will fancy themselves in that, because the majority of teams they played had a structure, had a style, and had a system, especially Dublin with that defensive system.
Yeah, interesting, because when Sean was announced to start, Mark Sabre was saying to me, where is he going to play? I says, Sean O'Shea, he's going to play wherever he wants. He'll go
and that, you hit it. You're dead right.
He'll do what he wants. He'll go and play the game on his terms, because he's that type of player. As you said, like that kind of Roy Keane mould certainly in there. But tell me, it's set up for, I suppose, a game now where the baggage is there. I know straight away Andy Moran was not looking for anything from the past. Obviously him as a player, lost 6 finals himself. I was just thinking about your, as you said, Jack, and his winning streak, and the players now in last year in particular, and you know, even Big Donaghy coming in, like there is so much assurity in there. Is the only thing you can think, Tim, is that it's not that, listen, it's an All-Ireland final, but there seems to be so much kind of force coming with Kerry, and I think Mayo have something, but that could be broken. You know, that my fear would be as a neutral that Kerry could overpower them a bit, you know?
I suppose what we don't want to, I suppose us and Kerry, we just want to win and get over the line. But on the same token, you don't want what happened in the hurling yesterday against Galway. But I can't see that happening, Brendan. Because the one thing that, you know, he stuck to system, Andy Moran, right from taking over the mantle as manager. And what he's done as well, and you have to recognise it, and you have to admire him for it, he's given youth its fling as well. If you look at the average age with Aidan O'Shea, on the bench. All I'm saying is suddenly the average age comes way down. And my point is, he's backing young fellas that have no bag. Like, there's guys in that team that don't even think about 1951. And that, I think that was, and he's kept it kind of, I know he made that statement in that post, that I think it was John Fogarty that asked him the question, like, how are you going to calm down, basically, the supporters? They you know, the way, and you have to admire that about Mayo. They keep coming back to the well, and they will win it someday, but I just hope it won't be on Sunday. Yeah. But the point I'm making is there's no baggage in this Mayo team, you know, and there's a lot, you know, you would say that the likes of the Killian O'Connors have suffered, like Lee Keegan is gone. You know, those players have suffered in big games where they couldn't get over Dublin at times. You know, they take out a big scalp during the championship. Suddenly they find themselves in the All-Ireland final. But I don't think any of these players have that sort of baggage. And that's why he's left them loose and left them go. So I think Kerry, you know, I know a lot of people out there, the majority of people, will fancy Kerry. But I think Mayo, he'll have things on that wall and that dressing room wall on Sunday, and it will be to drive these guys and have no fear. And if you play without fear, sometimes you're halfway there, Brendan, and that bit of quality. But the only thing I would say on the other side is that, you know, and you recognise this as well. I told you what I think of Shawnee O'Shea. He's the spiritual leader. And as you said there's probably 3 players that Jack don't have to tell anything to go out. This is your job. Shawnee O'Shea, Paddy Clifford and David Clifford. Those guys are left to do what they like, because they're just in another planet when they hit form. Yeah. But the rest of the guys on that team, they know what they have to do. They have a job and what have you. And I think that's what kind of, there's a good balance in the Kerry setup for that. The bench is a huge thing as well, Brendan, and it'll be for both sides come Sunday. Like, you very rarely now do you see the 15 starters. 50, you know, I don't call them substitutes anymore. I call them finishers. And, you know, we have a little bit of impact off the bench, or more than a little bit of impact. When you have the likes of Tony Brosnan, he get on most teams in the country, you know. Killian Spillane on his day as well. I don't know what the story is with Tom Sullivan is back as a defender. So he's plenty of cover in a lot of positions, and he really used the league to his advantage as well. He's a guy called Keith Evans. I'm sure you've seen him. Come on, he's from Kiel in McKerry. He offers something else, something different. And don't be surprised as well. And he's been priming him all year. He played with the under-20s and was outstanding. Of course, Kerry beat Tyrone in that under-20 final. But the guy, Tomás Kennedy, he's from the Cairns O'Rahadys club here. He did his leaving cert last year, but he's a big unit.
Yes.
And if I was to think how Donaghy thinks, that would be a little curveball for Mayo as well if this guy comes in on the edge of the square at some time, you know, during the game. He's a serious player. He's a serious ball winner, basketball background as well. So all those little parts of the jigsaw, you know, are real positives for Kerry. But I have a fear of Mayo, a fear of, you know, that they're playing without fear and there's hunger, there's freshness. And, you know, I think Andy Moran is letting them express themselves inside the white lines. But you would think that Kerry may be a little bit further down the road than them with their experience of the big players. So all I'm saying is Mayo will be no pushovers. And I'm not trying to play down the Kerry thing, Brendan. Mayo will be no pushover. It's an All-Ireland final. And if you think in the current game as well, and I know Louth probably were an exception to the rule when they beat Monaghan when they had a man down. But if there's a sending off or something happens, a serious player gets injured, you know, that's a leveller in itself. So anything can happen in All-Ireland final.
The final, and of course the kick-outs, it took Dublin a while to get the grips with yours a bit, and that kind of swung a bit of momentum to me. There's so many things in there, Tim. We're nearly out of time here. I think the big one is, I think O'Donoghue has to take Foley out of there and try and isolate the two boys, because he will go with O'Donoghue. I think Mayo are bringing a massive amount of energy. I totally agree with you on that there. And that is the only thing, with obviously the new rules and the two-point threat, it could kind of keep them, you know, in a game, or make them, bring them into a comeback situation. Tim, I think that's the best thing that they could hope for, but I do see Kerry controlling the game. But anyway, I'll be down, lad. Me and you'll catch up, might see you in the Croke Park Hotel after.
Absolutely, great chatting to you. And like you said there, Donegal are not far off, and it's about peaking at the right time of the year, Brendan.
Good man, Tim. Thanks a million, sir. Catch you down there. Thank you very much. That's Tim Moynan of Radio Kerry there. Great to catch up. Thanks for Ryan Ferry earlier. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up. I will speak to you all next week.